my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 252 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and full disclosure, and I know people don't tune in to hear excuses, however, I do offer up my apologies. This is a solo wrestling under the influence, simply because the week got away from me. My original intent was to record an episode after the Stride Pro Wrestling show on Saturday night. However, after the show, I was not feeling it. I am feeling it in the sense of recording a podcast. And there really, the area we were in was a small community, and there were no, I didn't see any bars or restaurants or any kind of establishments that could have served the purpose of doing a wrestling under the influence. So here it is, Sunday morning, the day after the show, and I am drinking alone and recording this podcast, but we're going to have a little fun with it, and I hope that you stick around and enjoy it. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Stride Pro Wrestling. Heath Hatton and I retained, once again, the Stride Pro Wrestling tag team titles. I am extremely grateful for the opportunity to be at this point in my life, and you know, I don't know. I know that some look at this as ridiculousness and whatnot, but I'm having a good time, and despite the soreness, I just can't really articulate it well enough to explain what's going on with Stride Pro Wrestling right now. It was a great show. It was a fundraising event for the Youth Build group. We raised about $3,000 for the group, so that is always great. Jamie Myers worked very hard on putting this together. She is a Stride super fan. She may be the Stride super fan. Her and her son Hunter always at our shows and supporting Stride Pro Wrestling, so it's good to give back and help them and support the cause of Youth Build. So check out strideprowrestling.com for our next event and updates from the cashing in fundraiser that we had Saturday night in Centralia, Illinois. And that being said, Cash Borden no longer a champion. He was going into that event with three belts and walked out with zero. So again, check out my123cents.com for the latest on Cash Borden, as well as strideprowrestling.com, and we'll keep you up to date on everything going on. I did mention this is going to be a Wrestling Under the Influence because, as we did in August, kind of reshuffled the deck for the My123cents podcast and the brand here, and I really wanted to stay consistent with what I started last month. So that's why I'm going to push forward and do Wrestling Under the Influence this week. Next week, it's going to be Wrestling with the 80s, and I did a poll on Twitter, and the Von Erichs won. So we'll talk more, I guess co-host and I will talk more about the Von Erichs next week right here on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. If you have comments or you know, anything, any memories of the Von Erichs that you would like to share on the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page, do so, and or even on the Jittery Monkey Facebook page, and let me know. Again, Jittery Monkey, the home of several great podcasts, including the Five Heart Podcast with Greg Mahochko, Nerds United with Greg Mahochko and Mike Luther, and then Chad Smart is the host of Positive Cynicism, and each month, or each week rather, he has a rotating topic as well. So that's kind of where I borrowed this idea from. Now, I'm going to go ahead and open this week's selection, or this month's selection, and try to do this without making a mess here. And a quick backstory, I am drinking, and I'm trying to not mess up the cap because I like to save the caps. And I do not have this particular cap, and I am going to ruin it here because it's not opening. This is called Belching Beaver Brewery Me So Honey Blonde. And I actually picked this beer up in Las Vegas. Some of you may remember back in November of last year, I was in Las Vegas for an Impact Wrestling tryout to be a ring announcer. Listen to that. And obviously things didn't go the way I had hoped they would, but I had fun nonetheless. Okay, I noticed as I was recording that I was having some audio issues, so I've restarted here. So the story of where I discovered Belching Beaver comes from Twitter. I think Belching Beaver had been tweeting with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He liked a tweet or something from them. Belching Beaver is located in San Diego, California, so not available here in Southern Illinois. And like I said, when we were in Las Vegas, I saw the bottle, and I instantly, you know, when I first started drinking, and this is a confession time, I suppose, when I first started drinking craft beer, I didn't know enough about the flavors and the process, and so I was just basing my decisions on the label, the branding, which is so important for many aspects, and especially for novices like myself who were not exactly sure what I wanted or what I was looking for in a beer. So the Belching Beaver, I love the mascot. It's a beaver that is obviously belching, and each brew, he's doing something different, kind of pertaining to that particular beverage. So, of course, on the honey one that we're drinking today, the Miso Honey, he's holding a honey stick or whatever. I don't know what they call it when they process the honey, but he's holding that in one hand and then, of course, the glass of beer in the other. And he does that with all of the other flavors and brands that they have. So it's a fun mascot. I love the look of this, and I love their website as well. So I did hop on their website to learn a little bit more about the honey wheat ale that we're going to try here, the Miso Honey Blonde. And it's this is what the write-up is. Our smooth drinking honey blonde ale is one of our best sellers, and for good reason. We brew with the finest quality honey available. Floral aromas leap from the glass while subtle sweet honey flavor linger on the finish, making this a beer for all occasions. This golden brew is an easy drinking favorite enjoyed by our whole damn crew. Love the play on words there. This is an alcohol by volume of 5.5%, 25 IBU, so it's not overly bitter. They talk about the floral aromas and whatnot, and it really does pop in this glass, and it's a very clear-ish beer. I mean, it looks great. It's still retaining that fizz to it and whatnot, so I'm going to go ahead and try it. Pretty good. It is a great, this would be, and as we record this, you know, it's middle of September, summer is technically still around. I could see this being a good drink, a good beer to have, you know, poolside. It said it's a beer for all occasions. It's definitely a summer-ish beer. It finishes very well. I enjoy it. It's not heavy by any means. It's got the great aromas, and the honey flavor, and I haven't had a whole lot of honey blondes. The honey, though, is not, it doesn't linger, at least it doesn't for me. But I do enjoy this, and like I said, I enjoy the packaging, the branding. It kind of ties it all together and makes for a good brew. And I have a pretty big bottle here, so I'm going to have to finish this off. But as I'm drinking and talking and reminiscing about the days of beaver cleavage in the WWF. This was back during the Monday Night War, 1999 to be specific. So 20 years ago, this past spring, is when we first saw beaver cleavage. And wrestling fans, if you blinked or if you were watching Nitro for a couple of episodes, you would have missed beaver cleavage. It started off with some vignettes shot in black and white, or, you know, to portray the classic 50s show, Leave It to Beaver, which, as a kid of the 80s, we watched Leave It to Beaver in syndication where I grew up in St. Louis. Leave It to Beaver aired on weeknights at 10 or 10:30. They aired I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver on the PBS station. This was before Nick at Night and all that good stuff. So we would watch on Friday nights because we didn't have school the next day, because we were young kids at this point, my brother and I. But we'd watch Leave It to Beaver, and, you know, it was one of those shows that, because of, by virtue, you just kind of became a fan of it. Fast forward, though, to 1999, and Mosh of the Headbangers, former WWE Tag Team Champions, he and Thrasher ended up getting injured and was out for a bit, and so they decide to repackage the character of Mosh, which I don't necessarily think they needed to do, but to, you know, Vince Russo's credit, or to whoever's, I think Vince Russo takes the credit on this one. He had something for everyone, or so it seemed, you know, gimmick-wise. And some were hits, and many were misses. And beaver cleavage was, I think we can all agree, a miss. And I think that, you know, it was a very, you know, again, this is the Attitude Era, so we have a lot of sexual innuendo. The violence is kicked up, but for this particular character and this gimmick, it was definitely sexually charged. Beaver cleavage, you know, Mosh is dressed up like Beaver Cleaver in the old pants, or short suit, if you will, wearing a beanie and eating a bowl of cereal at the table. And Mrs. Cleavage, who was being played by, I guess, I'm not sure if they dated in real life or not, but it was Mariana Comlos. I'm not sure I'm saying her name right, but she ended up becoming Mariana later with the character. But she, you know, was a fitness model and, you know, a very attractive woman and had large breasts. And, you know, that's where the sexual innuendo, I guess, came into play. You know, promising some mother's milk and whatnot when Beaver's cereal was dry. So it's just one of those gimmicks that I think they thought it was a good idea at the time, and then the execution clearly fell flat with the fans. And I don't know if it was because the fans of that Attitude Era weren't into the whole Leave It to Beaver. It was almost a incestuous, I guess, because she was portraying his mother, or, you know, you're supposed to think that, or that, I don't know. I don't know where they were going with this, and obviously it did not last very long, and it did not sustain itself, and I don't think that it could have, and I don't know that the intent was for it to do that. Now, I have looked for the clips of he later became Chaz, Mosh did, where he kind of shits on the gimmick and does a shoot, quote-unquote shoot, on Raw and gives it up, and then goes into this Chaz character where he plays an abusive or alleged abusive boyfriend on Mariana, who comes out with a black eye, and then she says that he abused her, and it turns out that she lied and made it all up. And finally, Thrasher heals from his injuries and comes back, and we get the Headbangers back, which I thought the Headbangers tag team was a good tag team. I feel like I wasn't into that kind of music and that kind of, you know, I wasn't a quote unquote headbanger myself. So I didn't hate it. I wasn't in love with it. I think that they were a solid tag team, though, in a time when tag team wrestling maybe wasn't always celebrated like it should have been. And, you know, eventually then Thrasher does leave again, and Mosh ends up teaming with D'Lo Brown for a team called Lowdown. And then he eventually leaves the WWE and kind of reunites with his partner Thrasher, and they do some indie dates and whatnot. And I think they may still be out there wrestling. I'm not 100% sure. I know that the Headbangers did come back for SmackDown and had teamed up just a few years ago. It was an anniversary show or a celebration show or something with SmackDown. Chad and I actually got to meet the Headbangers during WrestleMania. It was the one in Miami. I can't remember the numbers anymore. I think it was 28, maybe. It was in 2012. We got to meet the Headbangers, and that was kind of cool. But, you know, back to the Beaver Cleavage gimmick, it just obviously fell short. It was, you know, in the box of gimmicks of bad ideas, it just didn't work. You know, and that also became a time when wrestlers didn't like their, you know, Dustin Rhodes did it with Gold Dust. I believe he came out and burned the Gold Dust suit in a trash barrel. And then when Dustin went to WCW and did the Seven character, and, you know, he kind of crapped all over that as well and said it was stupid, and, you know. So I get that they're trying to maybe make light of and do it in jest of, you know, we screwed this gimmick up, we don't like it, and we're going to acknowledge that. We're letting the fans in on this to know that what we've done is lame or silly, and this is our way of taking some ownership and apologizing for it without really apologizing for it. But Beaver Cleavage, you know, maybe a month's worth of vignettes, and I'm trying to think. I think he did have a match, and I, you know, as I was researching this, I didn't find any videos. Again, like I said, I am going to continue to look, though, and if I find something, I'm going to insert it, you know, into this podcast. But I don't remember Beaver Cleavage, you know, doing much more than a match. Actually, this is saying that he wrestled Christian and defeated Christian, which is kind of a surprising turn of events, you know, looking back now. But here's what it says, too, on this particular website I'm on. It's called Ring the Damn Bell. It says Harry Beaver Cleavage, which, again, is just that sophomoric humor. I think that WWE, Vince Russo specifically, was kind of going for. And again, I'm not blaming Vince Russo, because Vince McMahon had the ultimate say and approved everything, too. So I should also note that Mariana, who played Mrs. Cleavage, died of breast cancer in 2004. So this, you know, tale, unfortunately, has a sad ending. I felt like, you know, with her background and you know, somewhat athletic, I don't think she ever wrestled, but I feel like she could have done much more than just been eye candy. And admittedly, I think back in that Attitude Era, that's what WWE was looking for. There was no wrestling for the women other than some silly, you know, evening gown matches or whatnot. And I'm not saying, you know, I didn't like it. It's stuff that just doesn't age well, I guess. And I'm not going to pull a social justice warrior card here and complain about any of it, because I was a fan of it at the time. And, you know, it had a place back then. But nowadays, that stuff is frowned upon. So, Beaver Cleavage, I'm going to toast you and Mrs. Cleavage for an ill-fated gimmick that you gave it the old college try. You know, the beer is definitely better than the gimmick. It is called Miso Honey Blonde from Belching Beaver Brewery in San Diego, California. One more drink for the Belching Beaver. If you have ideas or suggestions, October is probably going to be all Halloween-themed podcasts, so I dig Halloween a lot. I'm going to try to, you know, I already know wrestling with the 80s in October is going to be that first Halloween Havoc, so if you are interested in discussing that, or if you have questions about, or not questions, but comments about that very first Halloween Havoc, let me know over on the My 123 Cents Facebook page. You can send a message. But next week, it's going to be the Von Erichs. We have a wild card in the end of September because there's 5 Mondays this month. And then Heath Hatton and I are back the first Monday in October for 2 is Greater Than 1. We're going to have some fun with this. And if you have questions or ideas, topic ideas, shoot them my way as well. Cheers, everyone. Have a great rest of the week. And we'll be back next week with the Von Erichs.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.